I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 334. And if you're new to Sinister Sightings, these are episodes where we read emails sent in from listeners about, well, a whole lot of shit. It can be anywhere from the spooky things that you've encountered in your real life, crimes that maybe happened in your area, all the way to the weird things that kids say and do, to, well, ambient stories, because we think those are funny. All right, on to the first one. The first one is a horrific crime in Edmonton, Alberta. Hello! Love you, gals. We've talked about this. Anyway, this is my first email about true crime that happened in Edmonton, Alberta. Trigger warning, the rape and murder of a child. I was 7 years old when this happened, so I don't remember the actual event, but I did read about it in the paper as the story progressed and when they finally caught the piece of shit. It was September 6th, 1992. Two angels, Punky Gustavsson and Lindsay Knott, were playing outside in the backyard when Punky's dad stepped into the house for a moment. And when he came back outside, his daughter was gone. I can't imagine the absolute panic he must have felt at the realization that his daughter was missing and Punky's poor friend. Lindsay and another child saw the abductor throw her into a blue van and drive off. A police search for Punky began immediately. I heard that her dad ran out in his socks and started looking for her. Sadly, Punky's body was found 2 days later when a man thought he saw a broken doll in a truck lot approximately 6 minutes from her home. Punky was raped and murdered. A medical examiner said that the rape was so violent, Punky would have died from blood loss even if she hadn't been strangled. The police found tire tracks and footprints that were from baseball cleats that thankfully were patented trade design manufactured in Canada. Investigators were able to determine that Punky was killed in another location and dumped in the truck lot like a piece of garbage. The case appeared on America's Most Wanted and Cold Case Files with Bill Curtis after it was resolved. The case went unsolved for a decade, and Punky's uncle was a suspect because her body had been found underneath his truck that ended up being a horrific coincidence, as her uncle was cleared as a suspect when they finally arrested Clifford Slay in connection when his DNA matched DNA found on her body. This info is from Unsolved Mysteries Wiki. Slay had been a suspect since the first year of the investigation. However, he had not been considered a strong suspect because three of his friends gave false alibi for him. Investigators learned that he owned baseball cleats identical to the footprints found at the murder scene. Clifford tried to plead guilty to manslaughter, but the court rejected it, and this shit stain was sentenced to life in prison with no parole for 25 years. As far as I understand it, he's still in prison, where I hope every day is worse than the last. When he finally dies, that he goes slow experiencing all of the terror that Punky felt in her last moments. I remember when I was probably 8 or 9 when I found a piece of paper with my picture and fingerprints, and I asked my mom about it, and I don't remember what she said, but I have a feeling that it was because of this case. I went missing at a campground once. My mom thought I was with my dad, and my dad thought I was with my mom, and thankfully a kind family found me and took me to their campsite, where my folks found me playing in the dirt. I can only imagine the panic they felt, and I was found. Please, please, please keep an eye on your kid. You never know what could happen. Take care, ladies, and until next time, creep it real, Tawny.
Woo, okay, that was a heavy one.
Jesus.
He tried to do manslaughter? Are you fucking kidding me?
What an actual piece of shit human.
Yeah, like the audacity for you to try to diminish Punky's life like that. Fuck you.
Meanwhile, her poor uncle, like, what are the fucking odds,
right,
that it was, like, that her poor body was found under his truck? Like, how awful to just be living in this shroud of guilt. And then, like, your family, do they believe you? Do they not? Like,
right.
Do you forgive them if they didn't? Because, I mean, how awful.
And how awful for her friend and her dad, like, to be the last ones with her. And then, you know, like, he had been out there, had to go in for a second.
It's literally all it takes.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. Creepy coincidence or visitation? Dear ladies, it is Disco Lady from Texas again. Except we now live in Washington State. I'm writing in again so soon because I don't want you to run out of stories. And I'm offering up a challenge to the spooky chicks out there. Send in your stories. In the spirit of sending in all the stories, I'm sending you all the ones I have left in separate emails so they might last longer. In my 50 plus years, I have experienced two ghosts so far and one creepy coincidence / visitation. Like you, I adore ghost stories and creepy tales, but I am super scared of ghosts and don't have any interest in seeing them. Unless it's my dad, I wouldn't mind hanging out with him again. You know, the older I get, the more I understand him and appreciate his point of view. We got along great when he was alive, but he was an odd duck for sure. And lately, I find myself doing some little things that he used to do, and I have a humbling realization that I totally get him now, and it makes me wish I could tell him. But onward to the story. First up is a creepy coincidence. I was dating a guy way back in the late 1990s who was one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. He had this very cool job that I can't reveal, but take my word for it, it was very cool. Let's call him Mr. Blanche, as the first letter of his last name will figure prominently in the story. Mr. Blanche and I met at a swing dance class and hit it off right away. But after going out for a little while, I realized that we would be better suited as friends, and it turned out that we made it work. For the first and only time ever in my life, I was able to remain friends with someone I had previously dated. He would bring his new girlfriends to parties that I threw with my new boyfriends, and all seemed great. I got married a couple of years afterwards, and my now ex-husband and I had moved to another state in 2002. And unfortunately, Mr. Blanche and I lost touch after I got married. But in late July of 2003, I started thinking very strongly about Mr. Blanche, completely out of the blue, and his name kept popping up in my crappy new cell phone when I tried to look up other numbers to call. But I didn't think twice about it because his last name started with a B. Then I had a dream about him, and I just couldn't get him out of my mind. Which felt odd, since at the time I was happily married. I even told my then-husband about what was happening, because it was so odd. I was surrounded and overwhelmed by memories of a guy I dated a little, but wasn't spending my time pining for. I just figured that it was all in my head, perhaps an unconscious reminder of folks I need to catch up with about our move. This was well before Facebook and during a time when you had to surrender your cell phone when you changed phone services or moved, so it wasn't very easy to contact people when you fell out of touch. After a day or so, I decided to give Mr. Blanche a call at work, the very cool job I mentioned earlier, but I didn't know the company phone number, so I just looked up his name online along with the name of his company, and how I wish I hadn't. Mr. Blanche was dead, killed by a neighbor in a stupid dispute over their property line. I couldn't believe it. I had visited that house before, and he had mentioned his troubles with the neighbor, but they seemed to be just a minor irritation, not a threat. I'd never dreamed that something like this would have happened to Mr. Blanche, as folks quite often live next door to snarly neighbors for decades. I can't share more details out of respect for his family, but Mr. Blanche died alone, and I just imagined his last moments, realizing that he was not going to make it, and it made me desperately sad for him and his family. What a disgusting waste of life. What a waste of a talented and brilliant mind, and what a waste of a singular personality. Then I looked closer at the date he died. He died only a day or two before I began feeling surrounded by memories of Mr. Blanche. I'm convinced that it probably wasn't a creepy coincidence. I believe he was visiting me, forcing me to find out what happened to him and encouraging me to remember him, which I still do over two decades later. He was a complicated and fascinating person, and I'm so glad I had the chance to know him. He was already doing great things at his very cool job, but he could have been an amazing force for good in the world had his life not been cut short. At first, I wondered if it was a purposeful murder, like a hit, but I don't think so anymore. Sometimes amazing people are just killed over stupid disputes for no reason, and it sucks all the way around. Even though I've had to be somewhat vague, I want people out there to know that I remember Mr. Blanche. He was a person worth knowing, and I hope he is resting well. Thanks to my beautiful, sweary, ghosty ladies for providing a platform for sharing stories and reading mine on the show. I'm honored, and if I encounter any more weird, wild stuff, I'll write it in. If you're keeping track, today is Monday, August 4th, 2025. Thanks for letting me stay anonymous, creep it real, and you know the rest. Much love, Disco Lady from Texas.
Wait, you didn't tell us at the end? I want to know.
I just don't understand why people get so fucking mad over property lines and stuff.
Well, I don't understand it. Like, it never should it come to murder. But I do understand, like, if somebody is coming across your property to, and they're destroying it, I can understand where things get angry. But nothing to ever kill anybody.
Right.
But that's why I've told you before, I hate that show, Fear Thy Neighbor.
Yes.
Because this is literally like an episode of that. And that show gives me so much anxiety. I can't watch it.
I guess I've never really lived in a house that had something that where you would be like, is this our land? Is this not our land? Because growing up, we were in like, you know, a house with a fence and the next person was right there. The next person was right there, but everything had a fence.
Yeah.
And then now, hell, I don't have a close neighbor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But damn, like, yeah, he definitely was like, yoo-hoo, have you not wanted to check in on me? Here, I'll tell you why I haven't reached out to you.
Right.
But yeah, can we know what his cool job was?
I know we won't tell anybody. I mean, like, we respect your privacy, blah, 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 but we want to know. Okay, the next one. Hey, Carrie and little Donna, greetings from Glasgow. It's your favorite Virginian expat living in Scotland. I hope you two are having a lovely week. I've got some time to kill before my flight, so I thought I'd write down some personal paranormal experiences I've had. I have already sent you all the things that have happened to me before, but I know Carrie's butthole is clenched thinking about running out of stories, so this is all I've got left. It's not really a story, but a compilation of things that have happened to me when I was sleeping or half asleep. So I wrote in about my sleep paralysis experience when I was in grad school a few years ago. I was going through a really hard time keeping up with my schoolwork, and I was getting like 2 hours of sleep every night, riddled with stress and crying all the time, and really angry all the time. Good times. I'm sure I was attracting some bad spirits. I remember it was early in the morning, and I was awake but couldn't move my body. You know the deal. I heard someone walking around my house, even though I lived there alone at the time. I even heard the toilet flush, which was not funny at the time, but now it is a little. Totally freaked out. I thought someone was in my house. Just as I was trying to scream and move even a little finger to wake myself up, I heard someone whisper my name loudly in my ear. Dana. Then I woke up. Terrifying. Other creepy things have happened to me where I was sort of awake, including hearing several people whispering in my old apartment at night when no one was there. I couldn't make out what they were saying. Other times I have heard whistling in my apartment, but the whistling wasn't a tune, just random notes put together, but not in any sort of melody. I have also woken up at exactly 3 a.m. on the dot, aka the witching hour, and heard strange, creepy cries from outside of my window. My husband and I stayed the night in a haunted bed and breakfast, and I woke up to the sound of a pile of books being dropped on the floor. No books in the room at all. My husband didn't wake up at all. What the fuck? Since moving in our new house last year, strange things have continued to happen. I don't think it's haunted, despite being right next to a cemetery, but I have experienced some things here in my sleep as well. It was early morning again, and I was awake, or not sure, but I heard very loudly and clearly, calm, calm, or maybe it was come, come in this loud, masculine, robotic, alien-type voice. Hard to explain. I like to think it was saying calm. Maybe one of my spirit guides bringing me some peace. My husband jokes that it was saying come and that it was an alien trying to get me to go with it. Who knows? I've also woken up suddenly swearing my husband was screaming in my ear. When I mention it to him, he says he was sleeping and definitely didn't scream. Freaky. One last thing. A few months ago, my husband and I both woke up at the same time in the morning, around our usual time. We both woke up to a voice in our head saying, "It's time to wake up now." How freaky is that? Who said that? What are your thoughts? Am I being visited by a paranormal entity? Am I able to hear alternate dimensions when I'm in my sleepy state? Or is it just auditory hallucinations? They tend to happen if I've been listening or watching a lot of spooky stuff. I've cut back a bit from the spooky dookie because I was getting nightmares and hearing stuff at night, obviously. So luckily, it's been a while since I've heard anything, but just waiting for the next time since I know it's coming. Dun, dun, dun. Spooky noise. Thanks for reading my story. Lots of love, Dana. P.S. Random fun fact. I don't have an Ambien story, but my husband gets sexomnia. I will wake up in the middle of the night with him trying to fill me up and making out with me. I'm rarely in the mood because, you know, I'm sleeping. But sometimes we actually do the deed and he'll have no recollection of it the next morning. How crazy is that?
Okay, me, I'm like, what medication is that? And then it was like, oh, sex insomnia, like sexomnia.
Yeah. Colby gets that. I'll wake up with his hands all over me. And the other night I literally like took his hand and threw it off of me and I said, go to sleep. And he doesn't remember anything the next morning. I just like to tell myself it's because they can't keep their hands off of you.
You are his dream girl.
Aww. Oh, wait. Are you talking to Dana?
Both. I don't know, but also how Carrie said your name, like she whispered Dana. That was kind of creepy anyway. Like it sounded like sometimes in my dreams, like what something will, like that loud whisper kind of talk right before like I fall or something and I jump up. I hate that. I hate that jolt right before you wake up.
I hate when you sleep too much and like you need to be getting up and then you start having crazy dreams.
Yes.
You're like, and this is all I have. I'm tapping out. The rest is up to you, motherfuckers.
Thank y'all for coming through. Okay, the next one. Hello, wonderful ladies. My sister lives in an old Buffalo house with so much history inside. I have never felt anything sinister or bad, just someone has an eye on you. There's a little closet under the stairs, Harry Potter style. Important for later. One night she had something to do for work. She asked me if I could watch my niece and nephew for a few hours and put them to bed. I was 19 or 20 at the time, so of course I jumped at that chance. Plus I wanted to show them I was the fun aunt. We had pizza, ate snacks, and played outside. The night went great, and they were sweet little angels. Tucked them into bed and headed downstairs to raid her fridge and watch some TV. I was halfway through an episode of Friends when I heard my nephew's door open. I paused the show and listened to see if he needed anything. You know, kids always need another glass of water or to tell you another story. I'm in my late 30s now with three boys, so this is my life. I didn't hear anything, so I unpaused. But shortly after, I again heard my nephew's door open. Thinking he was at the top of the stairs listening, I said, "Go back to bed, buddy," and that was the end of it, or so I thought. Again, after unpausing, I heard his door open once more, and I was pissed. Because why isn't this child in bed and stop fucking with my show? I texted my sister, why does he keep opening and closing his door? Her response, it may not be him. I'm sorry, what? There's a ghost upstairs and he opens a kid's doors sometimes. Nope, nope, hell no. I got up from the couch and I didn't move from the middle of the living room, facing the stairs, until she came home. Another time I was watching them, I was thankful because she asked me to do it during the day. My niece wanted to play a board game. She picked Guess Who. Where does my sister keep all her games? Oh, that Harry Potter closet. Quick backstory. She has a medium come to her house a year or two before these stories took place, and they said that there is a man upstairs, that ghost who opens their doors, and a little boy ghost who loves to play in the Harry Potter closet. So I go into the closet to grab the game. I closed and latched the door behind me, and it opened once I turned my back. I turned around and closed it again. The second time I turned my back, it opened again. So I closed it, and no sooner did I turn my back, did that door open once more. What I did next, I still to this day am not proud of. I yelled, "That's enough!" And I shut the door with authority. And the door stayed shut after that. There is not a day that goes by that I don't think about that and how I probably scared the shit out of that little boy ghost that was just trying to have some fun with us. Last story. My sister had her friend coming over to clean for her. She was in the kitchen cleaning away with her music blaring. Out of nowhere, she heard stomping footsteps above the kitchen and a door slam. Thinking that my sister's husband was home and trying to get some sleep, she texted her and apologized, saying she didn't know he was home. She replied back with, "No one's home." She cleaned the rest of the kitchen as quickly as possible and got the fuck out of there. I'm assuming that the ghost was trying to sleep and she was fucking with his sleep.
Why had your sister not told you about the fucking ghost with the door before now?
Well, she probably didn't want to be like, "So, my house has a ghost."
No, that's your sister's. You talk about that.
I know. But also, I hope she didn't just send, "It might not be him." Like, hopefully she said, "It might not be him," because we have, like, because if you just get that, what an ominous text. Like, the call is coming from inside the house.
Well, if that sister hadn't told her yet, I wouldn't put anything fucking past her.
Also, that is the worst when you have to keep pausing and unpausing your show. Chris is not a pauser. Like,
neither is Colby. And I'm like, you have to pause this. I can't listen to you and that. It's too much.
Yes. And so Tiffany is such a pauser. Okay. Like, if you get up to go in the same fucking room, just moving around and stuff, pause. Like when you're watching a show with her, y'all are laid there, sat there, whatever, but like y'all butts are down and you're watching the thing. Cause like I'll get up and go to the bathroom and I'm like, "You can leave it on. I can hear it." Cause the half bath is right there. And she's like, "Nope." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll be right back," you know, but I totally get it. But yeah, Chris is like, "Oh, so blah, blah, blah." And I'm like,
yeah, like tell me this important thing that happened throughout their day. And then fucking like Family Guy screaming in the background. I'm like,
I know. Overload.
I'm definitely one of those people that has to be like, "I'm sorry for what I did and said when I was overstimulated."
Yes.
But he doesn't get overstimulated, so he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it must be nice.
At least you could pause, friends, because back in the day, that was, well, I think it still is Tiffany's favorite show. But, like, that was Tiffany's show, and she watched it, like, prime time. And that was before you could pause live TV. And little Donna always decided to call. And, like, I would get so mad because she wouldn't answer because she was watching TV. But I'm like, but, or she'd answer, and she'd be like, "I gotta go, bye, the commercial's over." I'm like,
Man, first world problems.
Right? And now you could watch the whole series front to start and I don't know.
Front to start.
Oh, Lord, my brain.
Front to start.
My brain can't start, but. Oh, and that's the best thing about babysitting or house sitting or anything. Raiding their fridge.
Snacks, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I love snacks.
Like, whatever you leave here is full game.
Full game?
Is that not a thing?
Fair game.
Oh.
Wow. Donna is struggling.
I'm tired.
Okay, the next one. Hey, beautiful girls. Mandy here from Texas. After listening to the August 7th Sinister Sighting episodes, in true Carrie fashion, my butthole puckered hearing you were reading a letter from July 11th. I refuse to let you run out of stories. And although this one isn't sinister, it's very curious. I've omitted names out of respect for privacy. Back in 2011, my cousin's husband was killed in action serving our country. He was based out of Leesville, L.A. Carrie, I know you know that means Louisiana, but adding it here just in case you're having a brain fart. Anyway, about a year later, I went with my cousin on a weekend trip from Gainesville, Tennessee to Leesville, Louisiana, so she could take care of some surviving spouse business. The weekend was pretty uneventful until we went to leave the base and head home. On the base, they have a memorial for service members who paid the ultimate sacrifice. They had just added his name to the memorial, so we stopped to see it. She was driving a 2010-ish model 4Runner. When we parked, everything in the car was working fine. Well, after we looked at the memorial and shared stories about her husband and shed a few tears and the fact he won't get to see his 2 and almost 4-year-old grow up, we headed back to the car, got in, turned it on, and the radio was off. It wouldn't come on no matter how hard we pushed the power button. Then we noticed the side mirrors folded in. They didn't have the option to automatically fold in like the newer vehicles. Also, they had never done this before. We are both believers in the paranormal, and me, in usual lets out the paranormal fashion, said, insert his name here, is that you fucking with us? If so, do something so we know it's you. At that moment, a seatbelt in the back seat that had a car seat strapped in, unbuckled, rolled through the car seat and up to the side of the car as if someone unbuckled it, but no one else was in the car and we were both sitting in the front. Mind you, we had driven 5 hours to Louisiana, drove around all weekend, and were still parked in the moment that happened. Right then, we were convinced that it was her late husband letting us know he was there with us. He was the type to always play jokes on people and just a happy-go-lucky guy. It warmed my heart knowing he knew how much his passing affected all of us and wanted us to know that he was okay on the other side. Another small story relating to this. It took the Army a couple of weeks to fly his remains home due to snowstorms in the mountains of Afghanistan where he was. The night before he was coming home, I was sleeping and out of nowhere, I hear something in my room that woke me up. I opened my eyes and I saw a smoky-looking figure of a man in a bomb suit standing in my room. I instantly felt a sense of calm. He was in the EOD division of the Army and died while trying to dismantle a booby-trapped bomb. It felt like he knew how much I was dreading the funeral services coming up, and this was his way of telling me it's okay. At the time, my cousin and I were super close, like sisters, and this loss was weighing hard on my heart. Not only because he was gone, but trying to be there for her and not knowing at 22 how to comfort my 21-year-old cousin on a loss that she shouldn't have to go through at this age, and for the heartbreak of helping her girls through this at such a young age that they don't really understand what's going on. It was a hard time, but we've made it through. We still think of him often, and his memory will live on. He grew up in a small town outside of Mount Pleasant, Texas, and the whole town dedicated a new bypass road to him and added a memorial on the road so all that pass can stop and learn about him. Okay, I gotta stop now because the tears are coming. Living through a military funeral of someone so young is one of the hardest things I've ever done. To any listeners who serve our country, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. Your bravery to protect our freedom is something you should always be proud of. Military life is not for the weak. Anyway, I'm writing this on August 9th for those keeping up. I hope you have a blessed day and happy almost spooky season. Much love, Mandy from Texas.
Okay, you asked for validation and he gave you fucking validation.
Right?
Because I don't know about you, but half the time I can't get my seatbelt like unbuckled in a like timely fashion anyway. He just unclicked it and then undid the car seat too.
I was gonna say, just the freaking car seat itself is freaking amazing. But he said, click your ticket, I'm gonna show y'all.
I can't even imagine going to a military funeral.
Did they play taps? That is the saddest thing on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell, I remember being like, whoa, when my papa passed away and he had served, so he had like the American flag over his casket, and they wrapped it up like the triangle and gave it to my mama. Well, they gave it to my nanny, but she gave it to my mama because they were divorced or whatever. But it was just like, even in that moment, like, whoa, that's something. And I was little. Let me say that. That was little Donna. Yeah. I was very young at that point.
My mom has her dad's flag. I was also in high school, so I probably blocked it out. But I don't really remember, like, the folding of it and stuff. But that could be, again, because I was so young. I just don't remember.
Well, and you know I was right beside my mama.
Yeah.
So I have been stressed out, tired, all the things. But I have seen so many dragonflies, and I'm like, did dragonflies, like, did they just have a breeding time or something? Because I've seen so many of them. But also, I'm like, I feel like it's my mama being like, I'm here, girl. Just keep going. Like, always here. But I never see them that much. But I see them every time I'm outside.
Well, I've been seeing a lot of butterflies lately. And I'm like, man, is it butterfly season? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but maybe someone out there needs to hear this. But with butterflies, when my mama passed, you know, I was, of course, super sad and, like, thought that my life was going to end. Someone had made this sign, and it said, if nothing ever changed, we wouldn't have butterflies. And that, like, really helped me.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that also kind of is with the podcast. Like, if she hadn't have died, we probably wouldn't have done the podcast.
Right.
So when you're going through a hard time, just know, like, change is hard, but on the other side, it can be really pretty. And we could be like, huh, is it butterfly season? Okay, last one. Hello, ladies. My name is Paul, and for 70 hours a week, I'm a trucker pulling a set of wiggle wagons around the state of Ohio. And it always brings me joy when you two and your accents come on. Anyways, you need stories, and Lord knows I do enough morbid tourism for all of us. I live in Akron, Ohio. 20 minutes in one direction is the Dahmer House, where he killed Stephen Hicks. 20 minutes in the other direction is where Stephen Hicks is buried today with his parents. 30 minutes another way is the house Lionel Dahmer lived in until he passed away. And I know how much you all love Bob's Bizarre Bazaar. Well, he's a local boy too. In fact, he's buried, unmarked of course, in the same plot as Bob Sr., about 15 minutes from me. Samuel Little has ties here, as does Edward Edwards, Richard Cooey, who is the man who claimed he was too much of an extra large pizza to be executed, but the state said, hold my beer, and did it anyway. I try to visit serial killer victims' graves and pay respect and keep them cleaned off instead of glorifying the people who put them there. Northeast Ohio is a mecca of terrible people and haunted places, and part of me will miss it once my house sells and I move to Savannah, but the other part can't wait for it to be hot all year long. I've traveled from Maine to Florida to North Dakota to Texas exploring haunted spots. I've spent the night in the Body Chute at Waverly Hills, the Chelsea Hotel in Manhattan, the Congress Hotel in Chicago where Stephen King wrote 1408, the room Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. I'll save that for a future story, but it got good around 3 a.m. And also the legendary Hinsdale House in New York. For today, I'll tell you about my night at the Randolph County Infirmary in Indiana last year. One of the rooms in the basement belonged to a woman who did not like men, so naturally, I spent the majority of my time there alone in her room, and my EMF detector was constantly having crazy spikes coinciding with the footsteps around and cold breezes wrapping only around my head. As I was sitting there talking to whoever may have been around me, I got hit in the back with pebbles, but the chair was against a wall and there's no way I could find for it to make any logical sense. Whenever I'm in places like that, I gravitate towards the morgue and basements and everywhere I went in that place. And the whole time I was in there, the feeling someone was following every step I took was palpable. I'll include some pictures from there for you to see. It's a gorgeous place. Plus a bonus picture of Cornhenge, because of course Ohio has a field of literal concrete corn cobs. I'm more of a paranormal optimist than an investigator. I don't know for certain if anything is out there, but the thrill of exploring is what I feed off of. There's not a lot of places from the big shows on the East Coast I haven't been, and all of them agree that Zach Bagel Bites is a drama queen. Anyway, ladies, that's all I have for now, but there's no shortage of paranormal stories, so I'll send in more if you need them. Paul.
Well, we do need them, so keep them coming.
Also, my goodness, I didn't realize Ohio was a hot spot.
It really is. You had Donna with Bob's Bizarre Bazaar.
Oh my God, I freaking love that name so much. It's so fucking catchy. Oh, but also, what head was being wrapped around cold, sir?
Now, you know that's none of your business.
You're right.
But like, which one?
You know, that'd be interesting to talk to someone after Zach Bagans had been there and done an investigation.
I wonder if the activity like upticketh. Anyway, I wonder if it shot up because they were like, the fuck did you just bring in here?
Right. No, they're like, I've been waiting for this. Hold on.
Yeah, it's like, I just picture Casper when Casper like goes through all the like power lines to take the TV to Kerrigan so that she'll see it, so that she'll hire Kat's dad.
God, I don't remember that.
Oh God, he like goes through it. It's like pew pew pew, like goes through all the power lines all the way to her hotel, turns the TV on and like keeps rolling it and following her with it because she's like on the phone ignoring it.
That's funny. Also, what's a wiggle wagon? Oh, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank y'all for sending these in. I never even said at the beginning how to send them in. So if you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.